The word gospel at its root means good news. And every week before I read the scripture, I always say, this is the good news about Jesus. You know, I don't say that just out of habit or because there's nothing else that could be said. I say it because our hope is that we would receive God's news as good, and that this good news could be transforming, and that we could be open to what God has for us. And so again, I say this week, listen to the good news about Jesus. Today, from Luke chapter 1, and I'll be reading just verses 26 to 33. 26 to 33. And this is the good news. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name, Mary. And upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end, ever, to his kingdom. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you have given us a message of good news, and may it fall on our open hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, or day before now, I received a bill from an appliance guy that fixed a washing machine. And got the bill, just sort of an ordinary thing, repair call. But I noticed something curious, you know, down in the corner, isn't usually on the bills that I get. It said, keep Christ in Christmas. Like that sentiment. It's kind of neat, right? There's so many things that can distract us from Christmas. After all, the word Christmas means what? Christ's birth, mas from the Latin, body, the presence of Christ, Jesus' birthday. Now, we know Jesus doesn't have birthdays. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. But it helps us to remember every year that goes by, we've had a birthday. And what way do we keep Christ in Christmas? But the passage today, I think, helps us think more deeply that I wonder what else Christ should be in and where else should Christ be. When Gabriel appeared to Mary, angel had to locate Mary. No GPS, no Google Maps. The angel just knew. Why is that? Because we know God knows where we are. And so God knew where Mary was. And Gabriel finds Mary in what town? Cape May? That was close. It's Cape May. What town was it that Mary found, or that Gabriel found Mary in? Nazareth, yes. Nazareth, a sleepy little town in Nazareth. You know, Nazareth didn't have a very good reputation back then. No, it didn't. In fact, it was the town where your grandma said, I don't want to ever hear you go into that town called Nazareth. Because nothing ever seemed good that would come from there. And we know that because in the Gospel of John, when John the Baptist was preparing people for the person that, remember, he pointed to, Jesus, John described to Peter, he said, and keep watching, Jesus, who is the Messiah, is coming to you. I'll point him out when I see him. But you just remember, it's not me, it's Jesus. I'll be pointing when we see him. But curiously, a little while later, when Jesus was walking the countryside, getting people on his team, inviting people to follow him, we called them the disciples. And so Jesus was recruiting his team, ordinary people, people just like you, you and you, just like me. And so Jesus was out looking for people that could be on his team. And one of John's disciples, that is John the Baptist's disciples, his name was Andrew. And Andrew, Andrew was the first person really to tell somebody about Jesus. Once John the Baptist pointed Jesus out to Andrew, Andrew became a follower of Jesus, not John the Baptist. He said, "Hey, thanks, John, for pointing Jesus out. I'm going to follow Jesus now." John said, "Way to go, guy. You just do it." And so Andrew now is spending time, and he finds Nathanael. And so they're walking along, and Andrew notices Jesus up the way there. And he tells his friend Nathanael, "Hey, Nathanael, that's a good news for you. Look up there. That's Jesus, the one the prophets foretold, Jesus of Nazareth. Come on, I'll take you. Let's meet him." And so he started to walk toward Jesus, and Nathanael just was sort of stuck there. "Nathanael, come on, try to keep up. There's Jesus, Jesus from Nazareth, the one that the prophets had foretold from long ago. It's the one John the Baptist told us would take away the sins of the world. Come on, let's go. I want you to meet him. He's a great guy." "Where did you say he was from?" Well, he's from Nazareth." Nathanael goes, "What? He's from where?" Andrew goes, "He's from Nazareth. Yeah, well, Mary was there, and that's where the angel Gabriel came and maybe rehearsed some of the story that he might have heard just sort of listening to the clues. He's from Nazareth." And Nathanael wasn't interested. "How could anything good come from Nazareth?" he said. And so Nathanael walks the other way. And so Andrew just keeps going and must have had a conversation with Jesus. This is all in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And later, Andrew goes back to Nathanael, and Nathanael finally makes his way over. "All right, I guess I'll go meet him. Andrew's over there. Nothing else going on." And the second that Nathanael makes his way sometime later, catches up with Andrew and Jesus, the first thing Jesus says to Nathanael, "Hello, Nathanael. I saw you underneath that fig tree. And I know what you were thinking. And I'm so glad you decided to come." Nathanael was shocked. You see, he had distanced himself from Jesus because he had come from Nazareth. He didn't think God would possibly be found in a place so sullied, a place so insignificant, a place so wasted. But he, while under a fig tree, recognized that Jesus saw him where he was all the time. And if somebody could see you a great distance away, "I saw you underneath that fig tree over there. I know all about you, Nathanael. I know all the things that you were thinking about. I know your fears. I know the things that discourage you. I know your successes. I know the things that you just love and enjoy in this life. And I know your struggles too. And here's the deal. You come and follow me, and your life will never be the same." Nathanael, his heart was just broken. His mind was now open to the possibilities. If somebody could know what I was doing so far away, I wonder if Jesus would know what's going on in my future far away in the other direction. And so he followed Jesus. You know, a lot of times we look for blessings in some of the most ordinary places. Sometimes we get an unexpected letter from a friend. Or maybe it's following up somebody on a Facebook post that we hadn't seen since third grade, and we finally make a connection. Maybe they found you. Or maybe you were just looking and just happened to notice them. These kinds of reconnections can be important because life can sometimes get a little mundane. And we also have our own biases. We have certain preferences. We have certain kinds of attitudes and things that sometimes keep us stuck where we are. Not that where we are is bad, but it can keep us from experiencing more abundance and more joy. Nathanael knew that Jesus was worth following, and Andrew knew that Jesus was worth following. John the Baptist knew that Jesus was worth following because God did an amazing thing in the most unexpected places. And Gabriel made his message to the most unexpected person. And the most unexpected person gave birth to the Savior of the world in the most unexpected place. Let's think again about our appliance guy and the little note on the bottom of his bill. Keep Christ in Christmas. You know, I wonder if sometimes when we try to localize the good news of the Christmas story, that Jesus wants to have a relationship with you and with me and wants our future to be filled with possibilities. He wants the world to be different through our experience, that our sins are forgiven and that we have hope for life everlasting that transforms our life here on out. I wonder if Christ isn't only for Christmas. Maybe God cares more about, let's keep Christ in Christians. Let's keep Christ in our life. Better, let's keep Christ in our town. Let's keep Christ in our world. Remember, the angelic voice of the angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings." That's good news. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That though Jesus Mary was from Nazareth, and Jesus, after some maybe 2, 3, 4 years of age, returned to Nazareth. He was Jesus of Nazareth. Not just Mary lived there and then went to Bethlehem to give birth, but after that time, and we'll learn more about that in the coming weeks, and those wise men reappear in our story, but Jesus returned to Nazareth. That was his hometown. And great things came from there, although no one expected it. The interest isn't just to keep Christ in Christmas. Our experience, our spiritual life needs to make a difference in every season. Well, why not keep Christ in Easter? Why not keep Christ in Mondays? Why not keep Christ in Fridays? But why not keep our spiritual life that's centered on Christ, that in our mornings, or how we drive, or how we treat another person? Why don't we focus, instead of trying to think that Christ could even be squeezed into a holiday like Christmas? You know, of course, that there was no Christmas back then. You know that even the story of Mary and the virgin birth and all the wonderful things that we celebrate, that there's not one word of any of that in the New Testament after the Gospels. Did you know that the Apostle Paul never mentioned the incarnation, the birth of Jesus at all? Why is that? Well, not that it wasn't important, but that Paul knew that the life of Christ isn't meant to be just a story retold year after year, and it's fine that it is, but that it's the impact of the story that's told has an impact for the rest of your life. We rehearse the story because we're so prone to forget. And it's a fun story to tell. It captures the imagination of children. It captures the imagination of seniors. It captures the imagination of every single person on the planet, whether you're Christian or not. You could be Buddhist and exchange Christmas gifts. You could be Muslim and understand, you know, the Muslims, Jesus is one of the prophets. They know the Christmas story. Now, they may not know it or embrace it like we do, but the opportunity isn't just to cram Jesus into a holiday, on a tree, in a gift, in a season. The challenge for us is to recognize that Jesus knows where we are all the time and wants to make a difference there. not just in the location of December 25th, not just in the location of Christmas Eve, not just in the location of Advent, but wherever you are, keep Christ there. Wherever you go, Christ is there. And that God has put us on this planet to experience in our deepest moment that God says you are part of the story and that all of us have something to share. So in this time of the year when we celebrate Christmas, possibly your favorite time of year, I know it's one of mine, let's remember that the God of the universe, Jesus, the Savior of the world, cannot be contained in a holiday. But can the holiday, can Christ of the holiday, become part of our life forever? That's the opportunity that we celebrate, because the location of Christmas is right where you are. Let us pray. Let's consider all the locations that you have experienced. What places come to mind? Maybe where you were born. Where you grew up. How you ended up in Cape May. How you found your way to Cold Spring Church. The different events in your life. The people that have come and passed. Those that remain. These locations. Christ is there. And Jesus wants to make a difference at whatever location you're at. Let's just pause for a moment and consider the locations ahead that you may have and how Jesus can be there with you. Good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. Amen.